Let me begin by bringing you the greetings of the presbytery. As we've mentioned, the presbytery is a group of churches, of congregations, and of schools and agencies within a particular location. And it includes you, so effectively I'm bringing you greetings from yourself as well as from others. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Open our ears, God, to listen to what you would say to us. Open our hearts to follow where you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's theme is, what do we do with abundant life? This is a life that all of creation is promised through Jesus. In John chapter 3, we're reminded that God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life. In John chapter 4, Jesus promises life-giving water. In John chapter 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. And Isaiah 55, before the time of Jesus, God speaks to the ancient Israelites through the prophet, saying, or telling them of the life-giving hope and future that God's self promises after the despair of exile. Despair is not the final word. Life, and abundant life, is God's abiding promise. I remember as a 15-year-old standing at the back of our house and yelling out to God in anger and fear because my best friend's baby brother had just died after being hit by a motorcycle. I could not believe God could possibly have a reason for that beautiful baby to die. And how could God have let it happen? At 15 years of age, I finally began to learn that God does not cause bad things to happen. David did not die because God needed another angel in heaven, or because there was some greater good that might come out of it, or because someone had done something so horrifically wrong that they had to be punished. David was not a sacrificial lamb on the altar of God's ego or vengeance. David died because of several particular circumstances. It was a tragic accident. And as I began to work this out, I started to learn about abundant life, even if I wasn't fully aware or have the wisdom to know that that's what I was learning. Abundant life has nothing to do with the number of years that we live. And it has even less to do with the wealth that we might accumulate over that time. The abundance of life cannot be measured or evaluated on a human scale. It's a God measure. If I were to put a number on it, it would be 5 and 2. And 5,000 and 12. 5 baskets, 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people with 12 baskets of leftovers. It's that kind of abundance. It makes no sense. It defies logic and reason and explanation. It's a faith thing. And just as abundance has nothing to do with human measuring, life has nothing to do with our breathing and our moving. It has to do with how we live, with what we do during our breathing and moving moments that makes a difference in the lives of others. Life is about the impact we have that brings life to those we encounter. I love this story that Anthony DeMello relates in a book called The Prayer of the Frog. In a monastery, a devotee knelt to be initiated into discipleship. The teacher whispered a sacred mantra into his ear, warning him not to tell anyone. "What will happen if I do?" asked the devotee. The teacher replied, "Anyone you reveal the mantra to will be liberated from the bondage of ignorance and suffering. They will have abundant life. But you, yourself, will be excluded from discipleship, will be cast out of the monastery, and you will suffer damnation." No sooner had he heard these words than the devotee rushed out into the marketplace and collected a large crowd around him, and he repeated that sacred mantra for all to hear. Needless to say, the other disciples were upset, and they reported this to the teacher and demanded that the man be expelled from the monastery for his disobedience. The teacher smiled and said, "He has no need for anything I can teach. His action has shown he is a teacher in his own right. He has no need of anything I can teach. What he has done has shown he is a teacher in his own right." I want to ask you a question. If you knew the mantra for abundant life, what would you do with it? I'm going to guess that each of us would want to respond, that we would rush out, perhaps out into the mall or into the nearby Westfield, and we would tell as many people as we possibly could. That's what we believe the faithful response should be. And we would be right. Yet it seems that we live more with an attitude of scarcity than of abundance. It's almost as if we have come to believe that if we share the secret of abundant life with others, there will be less available to us. Sounds silly when we say it out loud, and yet it is an attitude that I have come across ever so often. It's like those who have said, "I don't have to do anything to show I have faith because it's a matter of the heart." It's an attitude of scarcity. Or, "My faith is between me and God. It has nothing to do with anyone else." It's an attitude of scarcity. Or those who say, I have such a lot in my life. I have so much wealth. And if I share my faith, I might have to share those other things as well. It's an attitude of scarcity. It's similar to the disciples saying to Jesus, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. If we share that with this whole crowd, people will only get the tiniest crumb and there won't be enough for us. Compare that with the attitude of the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus promises her life-giving water. Water that will mean she is never thirsty again. She will never again question where God is to be worshipped or whether Jews hold the true faith and Samaritans are lesser people or even if a man should speak to a woman in public. She will never again have to hide from her neighbors or visit the well in the heat of midday. And when she is offered this life-giving water, this abundant life, she doesn't question whether there is enough for herself and for others. She immediately rushes back to the village and she risks the ridicule and the resentment of her neighbors to tell them about this man, Jesus, and what he is offering. They come because of what she said to them. They stayed because of what they found in him. Listen to that again. They came because of what she said to them. And they stayed because of what they found in him. Let us revisit some of the words God spoke through the prophet Isaiah. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Jesus came to give abundant life. It is not earned and it is not secret. It is not a scarce commodity, and neither is it something that we can hold on to and keep for ourselves. And in fact, the more we try to hold on to it and keep it for ourselves, the less we grasp it at all. Abundant life is given freely and lavishly and generously. Ridiculously, illogically, and unreasonably. When we have it, when we get even the tiniest glimpse of what it means and how abundant it is, we want to share it freely, lavishly, generously, ridiculously, illogically, and unreasonably. Let me ask you an almost final question. If you were to embrace this idea that the abundant life Jesus came to give is ours to share as generously as it has been given to us, what might this congregation look like in a few years' time? If you were to share this good news of abundant life in the same way as the woman at the well who took it to her village, or the disciple who heard the sacred mantra and took it out into the marketplace, what might change in the community beyond these walls? Of course, not everyone is going to welcome abundant life as enthusiastically as the Samaritan villagers did. Some are going to whinge and complain. They might even try to discredit us or get us chucked out of the community like the disciples in the monastery. But what if you were the reason even one person discovered abundant life? What if you were the reason even one person discovered this abundant life? Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Here you can drink life-giving water. Here you will find life so abundant you could not even dream of keeping it to yourself. Please join with me in prayer. Gracious God, from the times of beginning, through the prophets, and in Jesus himself, you call us to the water of life. You call us to that stream that not only refreshes us, but it fills us with a life so abundant that like the trees in the field, we clap our hands, that we will go out with joy, and we will sing your praises, and we will speak of this life to all who have ears to hear it. God, help us to get even that tiniest glimpse of abundant life, and to hold it with that attitude of generosity that leads us out into whatever it is our marketplace looks like. Lead us to the people who most need to hear this message, to receive this life, and to know Jesus. Give us, by your Holy Spirit, strength and courage for this work you call us to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We are going to sing again a song called This I Believe.